We're back day two of Canatech here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I am very, very honored that Nichelle Santos is joining us. Nichelle, welcome to the Infuse Show.
Yes, so pleased to be here with you, Nick, today.
It was lovely when we were setting up a couple days ago. I just heard somebody back say, Jersey, and I didn't even realize I was wearing my Stone Pony hooded sweatshirt from Asbury Park, New Jersey. So you came all the way from the East Coast like me.
Yes, you're rocking your Stone Pony sweat hood. Yeah. Well, and I said, who is this guy from New Jersey? I said, hey, Jersey's in the house.
Well, we are. Frank's a Jersey boy. It was good to see other East Coast people out here. And man, I'm not used to the weather out here.
Yes.
These are some strong, strong individuals that can deal with this on a daily basis.
Yes, but you're from the East Coast. We're yeah. used to this. We're resilient.
Yeah. I really, really am honored you gave us some of your time today, Nichelle. She's the founder of Canna Coverage. Canna Coverage, we've got you covered. And I want to say right away, you have a fantastic logo.
Oh, thank you. Can you guys all see it?
Yeah, we can see. Now, who designed that? Something the team came up with? Or?
Yes, something the team came up with. Canna Coverage, we're insurance services, risk management consulting. And we wanted to let the cannabis industry know that we've got you covered.
Yeah.
As folks move from the legacy market to legal, that you can come out and showcase your business and move forward with resilience and sustainability. So we thought it was important for that logo to reflect that.
Yeah.
That we're your partner in this journey. And the umbrella effect, we've got you covered. Let us cover you. And... take a step into Canna Coverage.
Well, it really speaks to the essence of this industry that I really, really dig, and it's that it is communal. It's a community, and people, we do partner with one another. I mean, our tagline over on the sales joint is no one grows alone. And it's another thing about having each other's back, covering you. So, and you know a thing or two about that. I want to know more about reducing risk in this industry and how you help the people that I work with, like cultivators and dispensaries.
Yeah, so Canna Coverage is a national insurance consulting firm. And as we've traveled from the East Coast to the West Coast, we've just found that 85% of all cannabis businesses are underinsured, which means that they have no insurance. They have the wrong type of insurance because you can't go to your traditional carrier like Travelers or Chubb or State Farm, they don't have you covered.
Yeah.
But we work with the niche market of carriers who provide the services, the insurance products that are very much needed to cover the risks inherent to the cannabis industry.
Okay. So can you tell us, like, who's your typical client? Would you say?
Oh, we work with all sectors of the cannabis industry, from dispensaries to cultivation and manufacturers, all the ancillary businesses surrounding cannabis.
I was going to ask you about ancillary business because that's something I imagine people would have this thought process. Not that it's an incorrect thing or a bad thing. It might be incorrect, but hey, I'm an ancillary business. I don't handle the plant. What do I got to worry about?
That's right.
That's where you come in.
There's a lot to worry about, Nick.
Tell us a little bit.
Cannabis is a risky business.
Yes.
So you do not have to touch the plant to be exposed. If you're a professional and you're making recommendations to a cannabis business as an attorney, as an accountant, you're providing really important information that's integral to the success of their business. And if there is a claim, if something happens, you know, product liability is a big issue, for example. If someone ingests an edible and it doesn't agree with them and they end up hospitalized or there's a psychotic effect and they commit a crime during that, everyone from seed to sale, including all the ancillary businesses, who's their accountant, who's their attorney, who advised them, they are all liable. So especially for the ancillary businesses, it's really important to have like It's called directors and officers liability insurance. It's that professional liability.
Okay.
And most people are really surprised to hear about that. They're like, oh no, I have insurance.
Yeah.
But if you have a claim, and you're an attorney, for example, and they find out, oh, well, this is a cannabis claim and you're not covered under your traditional insurance, it definitely has to be covered under cannabis insurance.
Wow. Wow. So is there a typical set of questions people are hitting you with at a show like this?
Yeah. Do I really need insurance?
It's just that one. I'm good, right?
Yes.
Probably a lot of people trying to do some free consulting, but I'm all right, right?
Yeah, we're okay. We have our SOPs, maybe. You know, we have a stack of papers in the corner. And
yeah.
Just in case we get an inspection and we can just hold up, you know, a piece of paper and say this is our program. But it's our job to really partner with the cannabis businesses out there. Uh-huh. And help stand up their standard operating procedures, their SOPs, bring best practices to them. Because we work with cannabis businesses all across the country.
Yeah.
So we've seen what works, what doesn't work, what effective management practices are. And we just want to help people navigate through the ever-changing landscape of the cannabis industry.
Absolutely.
Especially as you go from state to state. The laws are inconsistent even within the state.
Yeah.
Especially a state like Oklahoma, where the laws differ from county to county.
Yeah.
In the state of New Jersey, the municipalities differ.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
We learned that in the news just before the end of the year, right? With opting in or out. The municipalities don't really see eye to eye, do they?
Yes. There's still a lot of confusion. Everyone's playing the wait and see game.
Sure.
Let's wait and see how the state really stands up the framework for laws and for compliance. And there's no standards, right, that exists right now.
Yeah.
So it's our job to, again, help implement standard operating procedures, risk management practices that will help organizations operate efficiently, mm-hmm. effectively, and maximize their return on investment.
Wow. And I mean, with the regulations, I mean, and changing, Oklahoma, for example, has to be a lot of research that goes into what you do. I mean,
yes.
And staying on top of state to state, and in some cases, municipality by municipality, that's incredible work.
Yeah, we do the best we can to keep up with the laws that are emerging. However, with insurance, risk management practices as the foundation of your operation, it doesn't matter it matters, but it doesn't. If you're following best practices and you bring in process safety management into your organization and you have effective training and it's documented and it becomes a part of the culture of your cannabis business, then you're more likely to succeed. You'll have less problems, less claims, and increase the profitability of your organization. So you need to be resilient in order to be sustainable. And you do that through strong risk management
practices. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that now the show here in Oklahoma is important for our crew to get out here because we've been working in Oklahoma. And as trade shows, you know, begin to emerge and happen again after our 2-year hiatus of doing events like this and meeting new people. Has Oklahoma been a good show for you so far?
Oh, it's been fantastic. You know, the ice storm didn't help.
That didn't help. Did it?
However, the exhibitors, the other business owners here are really extraordinary.
Really?
I think the seminars have been outstanding.
Absolutely.
Each seminar I attended, I learned a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about collaborating with one another.
Absolutely.
We all want to see the cannabis industry be successful. And we have to work together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stronger together, especially in our industry. Are you heading to any other shows in the future? We're going to meet new people? Because we were just discussing, we were both at CWCB Expo back in November.
Yes.
What are the plans for Canna coverage travel schedule coming up?
We'll be in Grand Rapids next month.
Oh, good.
We'll also be at the show in Atlantic City in June.
Okay.
We'll be doing CW.
CWCBE. Yeah, it's always it's tough to get off.
Jacob Javits Center.
Yeah. Just say the one at the Javits Center. All right, so we're going to see you at both of those.
Yeah.
So make sure you stop by and talk to us again.
Absolutely, and we'll be at MJ Biz, of course.
MJ Biz. I think we're going to return to that one as well.
Yeah, that was spectacular.
They just released the dates. That thing, but man, that is your feet feel it. After
yes.
that one. That's a big show.
Yes, it's phenomenal.
So let make sure, because we know the from people that watch this and listen to this, I know that people are going to want to get in touch with you. So how do we find you?
Yes, www.cannacoverage.net, and that's C-A-N-N-A, coverage, C-O-V-E-R-A-G-E.net.
All right. Well, listen, and we can also get you on, make sure you follow on Facebook and Instagram. And look, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Nichelle. I really hope we get to do it again at these shows coming up. So thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Yes. Thank you so much, Nick.
All right. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Day two of the Emerging Industries Professionals Canatech Expo here in Tulsa. It's a little bit... I don't know. You're going to say it's a little bit more, the weather is just a little bit better than it was yesterday, Frank, isn't it? It's all the way up to 29 degrees, and I'm thrilled. I have Jen Nguyen here, who's the VP of Expos, and you are hosting an excellent show, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm so impressed by your team, top to bottom. You overcame a challenge quite early. Yesterday didn't start the way you would want, did it?
No. It was not ideal, so we adapted quickly and made the best of it.
You know, but you certainly did. I mean, you can't control the weather, the ice and the snow and the unpleasant conditions may have caused some delays for some people. But, man, we went up and running, and we had a good first day. Were you pleased with what you got?
Yes, we definitely had the right audience here. So the ones that came out were who we would want to be here with the focus of business. So. I think most of our exhibitors had some really good conversations, and that's what we aim for. So,
yeah, to use a cannabis term, you do have like a real broad spectrum of exhibitors and people to talk to at this show. So people really do get the bang for their buck. They can have a lot of questions answered, and just about every little individual facet of the business is represented here at Canatech.
And that's our goal, is to always bring in, it doesn't matter if you're a dispensary, there's businesses here that you can talk to. If you're a grower, pretty much any part of the business, we try to make sure we have exhibitors that can help you with whatever you need for your business.
So, Jen, could you tell us a little bit about your path into this industry?
Sure. So our company has always done marketing for businesses in any industry. And in 2019, I guess, my boss decided we had a directory for cannabis, and he saw the need for these expos and started it in Michigan, called me and was like, hey, can you come help me put together this expo? Sure, I'll try.
Yeah.
We haven't ever done them before. So Michigan was very successful, and in 2019, we did five of them in emerging markets, so kind of all over. So Oklahoma would have been our second one that year, was very successful, had some schedules for 2020, which didn't go so great, obviously. And then last year we did four of them. And then currently we have four Canatech Expos scheduled, a MedTech and a GreenTech for this year.
Wow. Busy schedule for you guys.
It is. And we're starting to look at 2023, so...
Getting that one ready to go. But it's such a refreshing thing that you mentioned 2020. I mean, it's just refreshing that we're back and we can do this again.
Yes.
So you got to be grateful for every little moment there. Can I ask you something about planning a cannabis trade show in particular? Because I imagine just that one word has to make things a little bit more difficult organizing an event. It's like when you go to book a hall, they tell you, don't say it's for a wedding, say it's for a party, don't say the W word. Does the cannabis word make things a little bit more difficult for organizing something like this?
Definitely, and especially venues that haven't done them in the past, because they all think that we're coming in there and everybody is smoking and you're just having this big hot party. I'm like, that's not exactly what happens. It's the business of cannabis. So, you know, that is our focus. That's why we do it during the week and not on weekends. Yeah. We try to keep our audience, you know, business-like. So.
Yeah, and it is. It's a great environment here. As far as what is on the future docket, some shows that our listeners can look forward to in the next few months, could you plug away?
Sure. We have, they can go to businessexpos.com, which has all of our upcoming events listed. You can look at the show floor. Part of our schedule always includes 2 full days of educational seminars led by industry professionals. So you can kind of take a look at that and plan your day around, you know, what you're still needing to learn or, you know, new regulations, all different types of different aspects of the business are represented in those two. We also always have our show floor up. And then so for the rest of the year, we have a Michigan one in April, the 20th and 21st in Mount Pleasant, Michigan at the Soaring Eagle Casino. We have New Jersey, June 14th and 15th in Atlantic City at the Harrah's Resort. We have a Chicago one, August 3rd and 4th at the Renaissance Convention Center in Schaumburg. Then we have our first MedTech in Ohio for September 28th and 29th. And then Vegas is a Green Tech Expo at Bally's on December 8th and 9th.
So, wow, you do have a full docket coming up. All right, well, look.
We're excited.
We're excited, too. Look out, Michigan, New Jersey, Chicago. We've got MedTech coming to Ohio. And we also have a Vegas show, which is always a good time. But I know that we're looking forward to Atlantic City, and we're really looking forward to doing another show where it's organized by you and your team, because this one has been really impressive, and we can't thank you enough for the care and attention that you've put into the whole thing. You've done a great job, so you should take a bow.
Thank you very much, and we're glad to have you guys here.
All right. My guest has been Jen Nguyen, again, the VP of Expos, Emerging Industries Professionals. I'm losing it, Frank, with the I need a drink of water here. But, Jen, thank you so much, and thanks to your team.
Thank you.
It's the Infuse Show. We're back, day 2 of Cannatech here in Tulsa. And I always say at shows like this, it brings you in contact with so many important new developments in our industry. That's why I'm so happy to be joined by Alex Burnett. Alex is the principal owner and the consultant for Canna Innovations. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, you, Nick. Thank you.
You know, you came from Oklahoma City here to the to Tulsa. How many shows like this are you planning to do in the coming year?
We are scheduled for another one end of March.
End of March. All right, because I think your dance card's going to fill up a little bit, my friend, I think, because Alex just got finished giving me a little rundown of his new product, and I've got to tell you, cultivators I know that I've worked with, they're going to be interested in talking to you, my man, because the Harvest Station is not only innovative. We all know that cultivation is backbreaking work.
Yes.
But you came up with something that is truly, it's going to save knees. It's going to save time. Congratulations. Thank Tell you. Our listeners a little bit about the Harvest Station.
Absolutely. Well, we first got started with a grower back in September.
Okay.
And I had a chance coming out of the corporate world and being a director of continuous improvement for a large corporation, had a lot of experience with lean thinking and introducing lean principles to different companies, and really felt like the cannabis industry could take advantage of this.
Okay.
Could see some improvements. And so we worked with this this grower in Oklahoma City, had a chance to go in there and observe their grow and their harvest, spent maybe 4 hours that evening watching my GoPro videos. Had two GoPro cameras set up all across the harvest room, and watched about 4 hours of video that night. Got on the phone call the next morning and talked to the owner of the grow and said, "Hey, if you guys can get on a phone call with me, I've got some things I want you to think about."
Wow!
And so it really took off from there. You know, we had a chance to look at the operation when the plants came out of the room, and actually modifying the way they did their work in breaking down the plants and transporting them to the dry room. And so that's the call. The next morning, I was able to relay to them, change your layout, change your process. And about halfway through the day, I get this text from the owner. Just incredible response. He says, "We're 1.5 hours into the harvest, and we're halfway done."
Wow.
And he normally takes about a day for for that effort. And so he was ecstatic. And later that day, I had some ideas after reviewing that video some more. I still have my sketch. I sketched out this cart, this workstation, essentially, of how to manage this problem that all cultivators have.
Yeah.
You know, it's managing all the containers of the waste that comes off the plant, the trellis, you know, the bamboo sticks, the irrigation spray heads. Yeah. All those typically go in a 5-gallon bucket, and those, and then you have the root balls. You have to deal with the root balls, the plastic pots. All that has to be managed. Typically, it's all scattered about, and that's a huge waste. From a lean thinking perspective, we want to minimize that excess motion.
Yeah.
And people don't realize the benefits that you get from that, and it was massive. We were able to introduce a prototype to the team, and on their next harvest, we will take their typical harvest from 2 days down to 1 day.
Wow.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the response here has been fantastic. I think you mentioned that we just released the harvest station yesterday for the first time. Started putting it on the website. The website is just taking off. I just checked my website views, and it's just from, I think we increased over 200 views in 2 days.
Wow.
It's just incredible.
After that, that's a hell of a debut.
Yeah.
Yeah, take a bow, my friend.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, having that video that I just watched over at Alex's booth, it was giving me flashbacks of Frank and I when we were working with growers in Washington State, and I was thinking, oh, my God, there's the space they're dealing with. There's the issue they're dealing with. The problems that you're able to solve for cultivators, this is a game changer. It really is.
It really is. It's something that, you know, I spent a lot of time researching and seeing if there was anything in the industry that solved this problem, and there wasn't. And, well, I started to get excited.
Yeah.
I started working with my son. He was the one that came up with a lot of the ideas.
Yeah.
And developing the final model.
Okay.
And he built it in Fusion 360. It's a 3D modeling system. He did all the fabrication. I did some of the fabrication. We built the prototype together. It's been just a phenomenal experience.
That's great, too. Man, we're working with your son.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
Cheers,
absolutely.
Bud. Yeah. Now, look, if cultivators, you also offer consultation services
right? That's right. So, as I mentioned, I came out of the corporate world, taught a lot of different organizations with lean thinking, how to introduce learning principles, really how to change their mindset.
Okay.
It really is a mindset change.
Sure.
And people see that. I talk about in my seminar here and in my... in a lot of the training I conduct, I talk about going through brain surgery. I actually went through brain surgery 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And as a result of that, I had a vestibular nerve that was had to be sacrificed because of a benign tumor on that. And I actually had to relearn how to walk.
Oh, my God.
Relearn how to walk. It took me four months to get back to normal. And I put that in every training class that I have because that's what people experience. From going from a normal production standpoint, cultivating or in processing, going into an understanding lean principles and how that transfers into improving the operational efficiency of your organization is a mind shift.
Yeah.
And working with our client in Oklahoma City, TSGP is the grower there in Oklahoma City, and they're seeing that. Every time I go in and work with them, you see them improve their operation, and they see that they start to change the way they think about how they do business. And they start to see ways to improve, different things that they do.
Yeah.
Spent a couple hours in cloning about a week ago and was able to walk out of there with some suggestions about how you change just the cloning operation. And I got great feedback from the lady who was doing the cloning.
Wow.
And within just a 4-hour
It's like the adage of, just getting another set of eyes on a problem.
Is.
But getting your eyes in particular on this is incredibly beneficial.
And that's one thing, Nick, that we do is it's you're exactly right. We come in with a different set of eyes. There's consultants that know how to grow cannabis.
Uh-huh.
I know nothing about growing cannabis. But I can help you from a standpoint of improving the operational efficiencies.
Yeah.
I can bring in a different set of eyes. Eyes that were in a manufacturing environment, working a lot in lean manufacturing, I can help you with the operation that you have there.
Outstanding. Yeah. So if we're going to try to get your help, how do people get in touch with you? Plug away.
The best way is through our website. We have several flyers out here at the expo. But our website is canna-innovations. A lot of people miss the dash, but it is canna-innovations.com.
Mm-hmm.
Please visit that website. We are on Facebook and also on Instagram.
So all right, Facebook, Instagram, Canna Innovations. Don't forget the dot between Canna and Innovations. And you can always email them at info@canna-innovations.com. We're here. We saw the debut with the Harvest Station. Congratulations to you, Alex,
thank you
for joining us today and giving us
your
time.
Been great.
All right,
man.
See ya. Canna Tech in Tulsa is drawing to a close here on day two, the final day of this particular show here in the red hot Oklahoma cannabis market. And I save the best for last because joining us right now is Rashawn Ford of Golden Mica. Rashawn, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, no problem at all. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, it's our pleasure. You traveled all the way from Illinois.
Yes, sir. Good 9-hour drive to get down here.
9 hours in the car.
Absolutely.
What did you do? How'd you keep your sanity 9 hours in the car and an ice storm when you get here?
Your sanity? I lost it. What are you talking about?
Well, good. That's the kind of guest I want on Infused. 9 hours. Well, we're glad made it. We're so glad you're here with us. Did you have a good experience at the show?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I loved it. Absolutely. That was a great show. I loved every exhibitor that I got to talk to, all the vendors.
Yeah.
All the visitors were great, too. They're such nice people.
This was, like, the strongest lineup of exhibitors I've been around in a long time.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, everybody has, like, a value in this space.
Okay.
And everybody's been friendly. And I don't know how many people have told me, oh, yeah, the guy in the booth next to me, actually, we're going to work together. We're going to look out.
Yes.
We're going to do something for him. And that is what sets this industry apart, I think.
And that's what it's all about, too, right? I mean, what's the point of networking, right, if you're going to meet a bunch of people and network with them?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay.
It goes against the grain. Listen, you've been exhibiting here and representing Golden Mica. Tell us a little bit about what you do in the cannabis space.
So what Golden Mica is trying to do is supply the growing community with something that is going to give them stronger roots. It's a root additive, a soil additive.
Okay.
Really. That's really what it is.
All right.
Right? And what it does and how it helps the community, it's going to give them better buds. It's going to get them to their harvest faster, right? It's going to give them good quality of their product.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be happy, right? They're going to have to work with less putting nutrients into their plants. They're going to spend less money on nutrients. Nutrients is often wasted.
Yeah.
This is going to save their nutrients.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, and look, if you're bringing better buds to the market, you're going to be a popular guy. What's your typical client like? And have you met some, you know, potential clients today?
Oh, yeah. So typical client is always obviously a grower, working anywhere from 350 to about 8,000 plants.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And how long has Golden Mica been in the game?
So Golden Mica is actually a brand, right? And what happened before is GTF Solves, the company, was putting out product and blends for different crops.
Okay.
Right? They're making blends specifically for crops, for corn, wheat, and stuff like that. Well, they're shipping overseas. The whole COVID thing happened. We had to change up some things.
Yeah, we'll change your plans.
The growing business right now in America, cannabis industry.
Yeah.
So we made a blend and added this thing called mycorrhizite, right? And added it to this blend, made it specifically for the cannabis.
So people are getting better yields. And I guess a big part of that is really playing in your favor is people in agriculture, the growers already knew you guys.
Yes.
They already trusted
you
guys.
Absolutely.
So you had kind of an ace in the hole there.
Correct. We're just bringing them something else they wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And where do you operate all over, or are there certain markets that you guys are kind of focused on right now?
So, see, our manufacturer is in Ohio.
Okay.
We operate out of Chicago, Illinois.
All right.
But as far as where we distribute, we're trying to get back into being global again, but anywhere in the U.S.
Anywhere in the U.S.
Absolutely.
Is Illinois' market... we were there. We were in Illinois doing a show. I think it was 2019. It was right before everything shut down, Rashawn. But you had just gone rec legal, and it seemed like...
Yeah.
It didn't seem like there was enough to go around, my man. How are things going out there?
Things are going good.
Yeah.
Things are going good. Yeah. We're on the upside of this.
Okay.
We're on the upside of this. More dispensaries are open and stuff like that. Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah. More nurseries, everything.
I had high hopes for that because when we were there at that show, I think it was in Rosemont, Illinois.
Rosemont, Illinois.
And the criminal part of this is Frank and I worked that show. And because it was such a grueling schedule, we did not get to go into Chicago proper. It's a big regret. Don't give me that look. It's not like I don't want to go.
I'll cry about it later, man.
Didn't want to go. But we did get to try the deep dish. That was cool.
Yeah.
But no, I had so much hope for the future of that of your cannabis program in Illinois, because we met so many good farmers and so many incredible cultivators at that show, and I was like, man, this market has potential. So it's really good to hear that things are on a really good path.
I'm happy for it.
Very cool. Well, listen, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or your product, where can they go to find you?
So we're at michaelgold.com.
Okay.
Or Golden Michael on Instagram.
Okay, Golden Myco on Instagram or MycoGold.com.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Listen, today I've had my guest, Rashawn Ford, has been kind enough to give me some time here at Canatech today. And listen, I think you have a great product. I think
you have a great
place in this business. And I'm really grateful you gave us some of your time today.
Awesome. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me. Seriously.
Thank you. I'll see you next time. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey friends, I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your host of the Cannabis Hangout Podcast, an educational platform to connect with the cannabis community and share personal stories while breaking the stigma of marijuana.
Join us every Sunday at 7 p.m. to gain valuable insight with different perspectives from industry leaders, growers, and medical marijuana patients.
This is a place to learn so much from different angles in the cannabis industry. So tune in
while we break it all down.